You are listening to the Unity Now podcast featuring the Reverend Sean Birch, the pastor of Spirit of Unity Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia. In this podcast, you will hear powerful messages from Pastor Birch and other ministers that tell of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These messages will inspire, challenge, and help you grow in your relationship with God. I hope you're ready. I know I am. Let's be blessed by today's message.
If you have your Bibles, we would ask that you would stand and turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, the 25th and the 37th verse. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 25 through 37. This is a very familiar text. Say amen when you have it. Say hold on if you're still getting there. Luke, the 10th chapter, 25th through the 37th verse. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV version. And it reads as such. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to go down the same road, and we saw the man he passed on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert of the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. You may be seated. Go and do likewise. I believe we would all agree that we live in a world full of chaos, confusion, division, and uncertainty. We have unprecedented natural disasters, natural and man-made disasters, wars going on, upheavals in government around the world, and divisions on every level of society. Because of disagreements, people are harming each other without regards to what is right, just, or fair. But as we look at the turmoil and the confusion through our spiritual eyes, the world is speaking to us loudly and profoundly, asking a simple question. Do you love me? I don't look like you, or act like you, or have the same values and priorities as you. My life is messy. I'm easily influenced by Satan's whispers and selfishness rules my thoughts and actions. But But your God, who created all of us, has commanded in Mark 12:31 that you love me as yourself. So I ask, do you love me? I would like to use for a sermon title today, do you love me? The life of a good neighbor. Do you love me? The life of a good neighbor. Now, I know this is a sobering question to be asked, and we may even consider it insulting, because our first immediate response would be, of course I do. I'm a Christian. But if we look deep into our hearts and our motives, our actions don't always line up with our verbal responses. All right. To say or to desire to show love and to be a good neighbor is a lot easier than putting it into action. Especially since we have a sin nature that is in direct conflict with those sentiments. We struggle daily with insecurities, fears, prejudices, and selfishness that is in direct opposition to the compassion that is required to be a good neighbor. These passages of Scripture not only allow us the opportunity to look at ourselves and examine whether or not we're a good neighbor, but it shows us the characteristics that we must strive for daily to live a life where we are being a good neighbor, not only talking the talk, but walking the walk. So we can truly answer, yes, I love you. In the text, we find Jesus having a conversation with a lawyer, an expert in the law. And the lawyer was asking what he needed to do to have eternal life. Instead of answering him directly, Jesus answered the question with a question. What does the law say? What is your interpretation? The lawyer quoted the familiar text from Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. Basically, love God with everything within you and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus responds, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But the lawyer felt a need to take it further and ask the question, who is my neighbor? Which prompted Jesus to respond with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, we're all familiar with the story, how a man was attacked on the road to Jericho by robbers, beaten, stripped of his clothes, and left for dead. Later, three people came upon the man, a priest, a Levite, and the Samaritan. We know the priest and the Levite crossed the road and kept going, not stopping to help the man. But the Samaritan shocked everyone by stopping to help the man. It was a shock because while the scripture does not specify, but theologians believe the man attacked was probably Jewish. Mm-hmm. And the Jews considered the Samaritans as second-class citizens and would not associate with them. This bias was evident in the lawyer's response in verse 36 at the end of the chapter when Jesus asked, which of these three neighbors to the man was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? He didn't acknowledge that the man was a Samaritan, but addressed him as the one who had mercy on him. So there was no love lost between them. But the actions of the Samaritan gave us four things that we must do as followers of Christ if we are to be a good neighbor. Now, we think being a good neighbor is about giving, but actually it's about giving back. If we want to be a good neighbor, the first thing that we must give back is ourselves. Let's look at verse 33. In verse 33 it states, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. The Samaritan did not act as one would expect due to his distrust, dislike, or history with the Jews. He would have been expected to act like the priest and the Levite. He would have been expected to move to the other side and keep going. But he looked past his biases and had compassion. Because he didn't see a Jewish man, he saw someone in need. We're all born with a sin nature that places us at the center of our world. Our lives revolve around our wants, our needs, our plans, our passions, our aspirations, and the things that we find important. But it isn't until we have a relationship with Jesus that we come into the realization that our life is not our own.
Correct.
You don't own you, and I don't own me. We all belong to God. So our wants, our needs, our passions, our aspirations, and the things we find important should revolve around Jesus Christ. We sing the song, I give myself away. But what we're really saying is I'm giving back to God what he already owns.
Right.
He allows us to use and be good stewards of what he owns for his will, his purpose, and his glory. Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It's not about us, but about God. To show the compassion and the love it takes to be a good neighbor, we must deny ourselves, our sin nature, put aside our selfish tendencies, our biases, our issues, and take up our cross and follow to Christ. As a good neighbor, we must give back our lives to the rightful owner, God. If you want to be a good neighbor, the second thing that we need to give back is our time. Verse 34 states, He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his donkey and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The Samaritan was obviously on his way somewhere with things to do. He could have easily have said, I don't have time for this. This is not my problem. But when he saw the man in need, the man's needs took priority over the things that he had to do.
Right.
I never heard someone say, my time is valuable. And it's true, because we consider time to be one of the most valuable commodities for each of us. We only have a specific amount, of which we don't know how much. And once used, we can't get it back or make more. We go through life stressing about not having enough time. We complain that there is not enough hours in the day. But in reality, God gives us enough time. The issue we place is how we prioritize and use time. We often don't realize how much time we waste on things of little or no value.
Jesus.
Think about it. If we spent less time keeping up with the Kardashians, the housewives of Atlanta and L.A., binge watching our favorite shows and movies on Netflix, Prime, Paramount Plus, or watching all the games on NFL Sunday and NBA tickets, and we spend more time with our youths or working in our communities, we can have more of a positive impact on gun violence, homelessness, food insecurities, social divisions, and a host of other issues. It amazes me that we spend an insane amount of time and resources exploring space, looking for intelligent life on other worlds. But the intelligent life on this planet can't find the time to solve the hunger of the homeless
problem.
We complain about how dark and depraved this world has become. But are we prioritizing our time to study his word and equip ourselves so that we can be light in the dark and dying world?
Right.
Are we telling everyone who will listen that there is a Savior who can address their situation, and his name is Jesus? We live our lives as though our time belongs to us. But like ourselves, our time belongs to God to be used for his purpose and his glory. Matthew 6:33 states, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Amen.
Our best time management hack is to prioritize our lives around kingdom values. If you consult God when making plans and going through your day, you'll find you have less stress, get more accomplished, and will have a greater impact in this world. When we prioritize our lives around kingdom values, We don't mind when God interrupts our plans to be used for His will and His glory.
Right.
Giving our time back to God is a crucial part of being a good neighbor. Also, if we want to be a good neighbor, the third thing that we need to give back is our resources. Verse 35:8 says, "The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper." The Samaritan was not only willing to help this man, but he was willing to help him in any way possible. He not only gave himself and his time, but he also gave financially to make sure the man's needs were addressed. Mm-hmm. He could have said, "I've done all I can. Good luck, God bless, and on his merry way." But his compassion extended not only to the man's current needs, but his future needs as well. As people, we are great collectors of, as Reverend Smith would put it, stuff. We work hard to accumulate stuff, both tangible and intangible. Our homes and cars. Our closets are full of clothes. Some we wear often. Some we wear less often. And some we probably have never worn. We have shoes. Ladies, and men, yes, we have our joy in Tim's collections, our status in the community, and our reputations. We place values on this stuff because we work hard to get it. But the truth be told, we really didn't work hard for it because, like yourself and your time, it doesn't belong to you. The air that you breathe to get up and go to work belongs to God.
Yes.
The strength you use on your job, God gave it to you.
Yes.
Your intelligence and ability to perform your job comes from God.
Yes.
Right.
And the stuff you accumulate belongs to God.
Yes.
We're just stewards of what He owns until the time that He sees fit to use it for His purpose. Being a good neighbor is realizing that the things you possess are for God's use to fulfill His will, not ours. Teresa and I have a friend that was going through a serious financial crisis. And they needed a large sum of money. It was a significant amount. Teresa had found out, you know, that this friend was in need. She came to me and she said, "So-and-so, you know, struggling, they need X amount of dollars. Now, I know we have some money set over here to do some stuff with. I think we ought to loan it to them." I thought about it and I said, "Okay, we'll loan it to them. So we'll let them know tomorrow, right?" That night, while I slept, the Holy Spirit just dealt with me and just reminded me of all the times in my life. When I was in need, when my family was in need, and people came and helped out.
Yes.
So the next morning, I got out of the tree and so I was like, "You know, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me about this loan thing. I think we just ought to give them the
money." Yes.
Right.
And Teresa told me, she said, "You know, the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me too, and I was just about to come ask you the same thing. You see how God works?"
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
So the next day, we wrote them a check. They were extremely appreciative. And we told them, "You know, this isn't coming from us. This is from God. This is a blessing from God. We're just the vessels that God used to bless you." And we prayed for them. Now, I didn't tell you this to get a pat on the back, but to illustrate how what we possess is for God's use, so that He can work behind the scenes,
yes,
working things out for our good.
Yes.
because he is the God that supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. By doing things God's way and following his lead, our friend didn't have to stress about having to repay a loan. Their faith and trust in God was rewarded, and our friendship was strengthened. We could have did it our way, but God's way is always the best way. And one more point. No one knew about this but the three of us. We didn't put their business in the street. We didn't broadcast it saying, look what we did. Being a good neighbor is not about what we get out of it, but it's about showing love and compassion and doing what's best for our neighbor who is in need.
Yes.
Nothing more, nothing less. We see that being a good neighbor requires us to give back ourselves, our time, and our resources. The final thing we need to give back is our commitment. We must be committed to seeing it through to the end until our neighbor is made whole. The second part of the verse 35 states, look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. The Good Samaritan not only gave what he currently had at the time to assist this man, but he also makes a commitment to give future assistance as needed, and was committed to seeing that this man was made whole from this crisis. People's lives are messy. Their issues and problems may be complicated, but that should not deter us from giving assistance to those in need. It may require us to devote more time and resources than we plan to resolve their issue. Being a good neighbor requires a level of commitment that strives to resolve the problem to completion, not just putting a band-aid on the problem. We see much too often in society, especially in government, where people just kick the can down the road in hopes that it will be solved later by someone else, instead of buckling down and being committed to seeing it through to completion. I was reading a daily devotion by Chris Tigray, and the subject, of course, was the Good Samaritan. He approached it from a unique perspective, and I would like to summarize it in this way. Do you know what makes a good story a parable, other than having a good message? It is the fact that you can identify or relate with the characters. In this parable, we all want to relate or identify with the Good Samaritan. But if we look deeper, or as Pastor would say, keep it real, we find that we can identify with every character.
Yes.
At one time or another in our lives, we've all been the robbers. At one time or another, we have all hurt or done harm to someone mentally, physically, or emotionally, whether out of anger, jealousy, envy, selfishness. We have taken someone's joy, peace, and hope momentarily or for even longer. At one time or another, we've all been the priest and the Levite. We have seen others in need and passed them by. We were the ones who crossed the street and walked on the other side. We didn't want to get involved. It was someone else's problem, not ours. At one time or another, we've all been the enemy. We will only get involved if we get something in return. I'll get involved, but what's in it for me? I really don't want to do this, but since you're paying me, I'll do this. Sure, I'll give you a ride, but I'm going to need some gas money. And most importantly, I know for a fact that at one time or another, we have all been the victim. At one time or another, we have all been viciously attacked by the trials and tribulations of this cruel and dark world. Satan and his demons have often tried to cause turmoil and destruction, and we are even victims of a sinful nature we inherited from Adam that we struggle with every day, which causes self-harm. But in this parable, Jesus Christ is our Good Samaritan that came from glory, put on flesh, to be the sacrifice to save our souls. He became the sacrificial lamb to atone for our sins, enduring beatings, ridicules, and the cross for us. He paid the penalty that we should have paid so that our debt could be forgiven and paid in full. He made it his priority to make sure that we were made whole again. He was committed to resolving our most pressing and important issue, which was our salvation. He gave himself, his time, his resources, his commitment, and pressed forward until the task was completed and we were back in right standings with God. And that's why, as former victims, we should emulate Christ and show compassion to others. We receive mercy, so we should show mercy.
Yes.
We should be committed like he is committed. But do you know what I find to be the most amazing thing about this passage? The question is being asked, do you love me? But what is so amazing is the fact that the world is not the only one asking us this question. Our Heavenly Father, the creator of all things, our sovereign God, is asking us the same question. Do you love me? John 14, 15 states, if you love me, keep my commandments. And these commands are found in verse 27 of the text. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So if we love God, we keep his commands. And his commands are love him with all that we have and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Are our actions lining up with our response? It's simple math. 1 + 1 = 2. Does our actions equal our words? 1 John 4:20-21, ESV states, if anyone says, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. But he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen.
Yes.
And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Jesus doesn't care who you are, where you come from, which side of the track you live on, who your parents are, how much money you have, what you look like, or even how you act or think. He loves you, and so should we. The prerequisite for being a neighbor is the fact that you are in need. All the labels, prejudices, misconceptions, and the rules that we put on while we don't interact with people don't matter. Church, we must make this thing personal. We must turn off self and turn on the power of the Holy Spirit to show love and compassion and have the audacity to look our neighbor in the eye and say, I see you, I see your pain, your struggle, your issue, and I will not let you deal with this alone.
All right.
Not because we're black, white, brown, yellow, red, green, purple.
Yes.
Not because we're Democrat, Republican, conservative, moderate, liberal, independent, MAGA, or not MAGA. Not because we're Arab, Israeli, Ukrainian, Russian, Asian, European, African, North or South American, or Australian. Not because we're Blood, Crip, MS-13, Aryan Brotherhood. Not because we're Christian, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, gay, straight, or any other pronoun, or any other label. But because we are one people, one tribe, one village,
yes.
One group, one club,
yes.
One crew,
yes.
One posse, one clique, one race. The universe, all created by God for his purpose,
yes.
And his glory.
Yes.
If you are in need and we can provide aid or assistance, then you are our neighbor. And we should love you actually as we would ourselves. So the question remains, do you love me? And the answer should be, of course I love you. Let me show you.
Yes.
Action. Life is getting harder and harder. Many are struggling, and many We have the opportunity to show love, the love of Christ, to a world in desperate need of his love and be a good neighbor. Do you love me? That is the life of a good neighbor. Do you love me? That is what the life of a good neighbor is all about. That is my message. Let's give God grace.